Good morning. How many is proud to be here this morning? Amen. How many is proud to be saved this morning? Come on, glory, glory. Lord, we've got so much to be thankful for. We're saved. We're on our way to heaven. And as we walk on this journey, we know no matter what kind of troubles we encounter, that the Lord's always with us. He'll never leave us, never forsake us. He'll guide us. He'll empower us. He'll give us exactly what you and I need to be successful. Come on now. We are a group of people who are blessed. We're blessed. We're blessed. If you would, open up your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 16. And while you're turning there, let me say this. Do you remember here a few months back, we had a great move of the Holy Spirit. And, and we said it felt like in the Spirit that there was some bonds that were broken. And God was going to start doing some things in Bullfrog Valley. He was going to start doing some things in our family's lives and people's lives. Okay, that night, as that happened, there was a great door that was opened. But here's what you and I got to know. When the door that God opens, it also opens up the door of opposition. It opens up the door for the enemy to come and attack. And I'm saying all that because you see what all has been happening since that point of time. There's been a lot of tribulation, a lot of trouble, a lot of sickness, a lot of different things have happened. And those things are happening because the devil is trying to bring discouragement. He's trying to create doubt and all of those things. But we're going to learn in and from the Word of God how to see and understand what the devil's doing, how to be encouraged, and how to keep looking through that open door and going through that open door and being prepared and ready to meet the enemy head on. Okay? Let's read 1 Corinthians. Let's start in verse number 5 in the 16th chapter. 1 Corinthians 16, verse number 5. Paul speaking here, and he says, "Now I will come unto you when I shall pass through Macedonia, for I do pass through Macedonia." I love that double emphasis. "And it may be that I will abide, yea, and winter with you, that you may bring me on my journey whithersoever I go. For I will not see you now by the way, but I trust to tarry a while with you, if the Lord permit. But I will tarry at Ephesus until Pentecost." Verse number 9, "for a great door." Highlight that in your mind's eye. Underline it in your Bible if you got a pen. "For a great door and effective is open unto me, and there are many adversaries." Pray with me. Father, we stand before you, Lord, and we ask that you give us utterance by the Holy Spirit. We ask that you give us hearing by the Holy Spirit. Lord, I ask that just a very clear picture will come up inside of our spirit of what you've opened up as far as ministry, what you've opened up as far as salvation, what you've opened up as far as deliverance, what you've opened up by the power of your Holy Spirit, lifting up Jesus to a lost group of people. But at the same time, let us see the adversaries. Let us understand their method of operation, what they're attempting to do, and let us go forward. And as they would try to trip up, Lord, by the anointing of the Spirit of God, by the truth of the Word of God, we will never, ever give place to the enemy. But we'll go forward in faith, and we'll see your plan and your will done in the mighty name of Jesus. And everyone said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. 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 Paul said, he said, I'm going to this Macedonia. I'm going, and I'm going to go to this extended land. That's what Macedonia, if you fully translate it, instead of only transliterated, it means extended land. In other words, I'm going to a place that's been opened. It's a broad place. It's a place of a lot of people. I'm going there, and I'm going there in the truth and the understanding that God Himself is an open door. He's opened this great door, but at the same time, there's many adversaries, and that's the title of the message, Great Door Equals Great Adversaries. And so we got to understand when the very possibility of what God has shown us and the possibility of salvation coming to so many people, and not just salvation, but a relationship that goes in everyday life. You know what I mean? Joy unspeakable because being tied to the vine. and being a branch in the Lord, and not just waiting for heaven, but being brought in to be used in the here and now. I believe there's people out there right now that can be brought into the family of God, and God can immediately put them to use, winning others to the very family of God. There's a great door. There's a great door. It's a great door. It's large. It's wonderful, and God is opening Himself by the power of the Holy Ghost, and He wants you and I to see it. But when we see the door, we've got to be able to walk through it. We've got to be able to say, yes, Lord, I see what You're doing. I see that You're opening up to me individually. You're opening up to this church collectively a door to minister, a door to bring truth to those who are without. But I also understand, as the door is open and You're showing me some things, I'm going to meet the devil head on. I'm going to come, because why? You and I are going into the devil's territory. But as we go into the devil's territory, God is going to be with us, because He said, I'll always go before you and I'll prepare the way. I'll make the way. I'll be working on that end as you're coming in, as you're walking through that door and bringing truth. So he said, for there is a great and an effectual, there's a great door and it's effectual. It's effective. It's opened unto me, and there are many adversaries. We've got to see that when God allows us, directs us, empowers us to go through that door, it's going to be effective. Meaning what? Meaning the message that you are going to carry through that door, it is going to do. What did God say? He said, my word does not return unto me void. But what does it do? It accomplishes what I sent it to do. You and I, we go through the door because we have a vision of the door being open. And we see possibilities. They're not narrow. They're not limited. But they're great by the hand of God and the empowering of the Holy Spirit. And we go through that door taking the Word of God, knowing, understanding that God will accomplish in this earth exactly what Jesus said He would do through His church. And that's save the lost. That's heal the sick. That's give exactly what's needed to that soul that is without, that's lonely, that's empty. And they will be a vessel that will be filled up because you see the door. You see the possibilities. And you're not going to allow the enemy of God to stop you. Okay. Let's have us, by the mouth of two or three witnesses, and let everything be established. Let's go to the book of Revelation, where Christ is talking to the church at Philadelphia in Revelation chapter 3. As we're talking about a great door, but also we've got to know that this great door, a second witness, has been opened, and it's been opened by the Lord. Because, you see, that's what stops us. A lot of times we think, well, I would do that if I knew the Lord wanted me to do that. I believe there's people that's willing. I mean, they're hungry to do something, but they just don't know what to do, or they don't know if it's in God's will. Well, let's see about this door. In Revelation chapter 3, verse number 7, Christ teaching, you notice it's red letter, and He says, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia. Philadelphia meaning what? Brotherly love, right? We know we pass from death unto life because we love the brethren. He's talking to the church of love. Unto the church in Philadelphia, write these things, saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, oh hallelujah, highlight it, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. Verse number 8, I know thy works. Better translated, I see, because it means to know by seeing. I see thy works. Behold, I have set before thee. Come on, say, that's me. He's talking to the church of brotherly love. We're the church of love. He said, I have set before thee an open door. Oh, glory, glory, glory. He said, no man can shut it. God said, when I open it, Jesus said, when I open it, no man can shut it. Meaning what? You and I, we're going to walk in divine favor through that great door. And we see it that it's open. And as we walk through that door, God's going to, by His Spirit, bring out of your life seed. Seed that will meet the need and the individual's life that you're witnessing to, that you're testifying to, that you're just loving. You're just loving because you're of the church of love. And nobody can shut that. Meaning what? It don't matter how many adversaries is out there that cannot shut that door that Christ Himself opens. Come on now. I'm seeing some things, aren't you? Think about it. Just stop for a second and think about people in your life. Right now, they're more receptive than they've been in a long, long time. I know in my own personal life, I'm seeing God do some things. Why? He's opening that door. He's preparing that heart. And the adversary is there. But the adversary can never stop the Word of God. Never. Because he could not stop Jesus. And Jesus is the Word. Okay. He said, I know thy works. Behold, I set before thee an open door. No man can shut it. For thou hast little strength, and thou hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Now, this little strength, I always looked at that in a negative sense until I started studying this out just a little bit more. What does the word of God say? But Paul said when we are weak in ourselves, that's when we realize that we are truly strong. Because we realize that strength is not of ourselves, but it's of the Lord. So when he said you're of a little strength, that's not a negative thing. He's saying you realize who you are on your own. I realize who I am on my own. But you know what? Just because I know in myself I'm weak, I do just exactly what the Word of God says. And the Word of God, what is it? Joel chapter 3, down about verse number 10. Let the weak say they're strong. Let the weak say they're strong. You and I, we're strong in the Lord. Paul wrote to the church of Ephesus. He said, be strong in the power of his might. That's who we are. We're strong in the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. And because of that, we're willing to do what the Lord would say. We're willing to go through that door. Because what did he say? He said, I've opened a great door. No man can shut it. And he said, I see your works.
Amen.
Christ sees everything you've done. He knows what you're doing. He's mindful of it, and he knows that you're not doing it in your own little strength, my own little strength, but you're doing it in him. And what did he say? He said, you've kept my word, and you haven't denied my name. Oh, come on. Come on. That's encouragement. That's what he's saying. I know what's going on in your life. I see every witness. I see every testimony. I see every action in your life. And I look at the heart, and I don't allow actions on the outside that might be twisted by somebody else. They're not confusing to me like they are to humans. I see your heart, and I know what's going on, and I've got this open door, and I want you to know that the door is opened by me. And since I've opened it, you can go through it. Because see, if we have a fear of being on the wrong side and that door being shut, that's what the devil says. Come on now. God will give us something. And the devil will say, yeah, you step out there and you see what happens to you. You're going to be, the doors will be shut. You're going to be outside all by yourself. Uh-uh. God opened the door and he's going to keep it open and he's going to walk with us and we'll never be shut off because he's the vine, we're the branch. We're like a tree that's planted by the very living waters there in Psalms chapter 1. And what we need to produce fruit in our season will come in our life. Okay. All right. So we know that there's a great door. We know that the Lord's opened it. Let's be stirred to see that there's some names of some doors. Some names of some doors to help us. Because there's some people that you and I are going to come in contact with. They're going to need something specifically. Oh, Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Go to the book of Hosea with me. Let's go to Hosea chapter 2. And let's see a door that we can bring to people. And I think this is the most, in this situation we're in right now, with everything that's happening, it's a door of hope. And it's a door, if I can get there right for Daniel. It's a door of hope, and people need hope in this world. Daniel chapter, Hosea chapter 2. Verse number 14. Hosea chapter 2, verse number 14. Therefore, now listen to these words. This is so powerful. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her. Now, this is talking about God's people. He's talking about her, God's church. He's talking about, we can tie that to the New Testament. Therefore, behold, I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. And I will give her her vineyards. Now, notice that ownership. I will give her her vineyards. Some things that's been lost from thence in the valley of Achor for a door of hope. Now, highlight that under your Bible, a door of hope. Let's just stop. Let's understand what's happening, and we'll finish the verse. As Hosea is coming to the people have been in great idolatry, and sin has run rampant. And all of a sudden, then God judges them because they wouldn't judge themselves. And they're in a bad place. But in the middle of that judgment, in the middle of where sin has control over their lives, in the middle of where they're separated from God, in the middle of where death is coming, in the middle of where judgment's coming, all of a sudden, God's great grace reaches out to them through a door of hope. A door of hope. You see, the devil wants to tell us and convince us because somebody is in sin and because they've turned their back on what is right, what is true, what is genuine, that they'll never, never be able to come back through the door. Jesus, John chapter 10, being the door, being the one that is a door of life. The devil tells us that and tries to convince us that and tries to put limitations. But here we have a group of people, they're in a place where they know God's best. And they had turned their back on God, but yet God still said, I'm going to open a door of hope for them. This is what the world needs. Right now, the world needs to know that there's hope. It doesn't matter what's going on around. It doesn't matter how bad everything looks. God is still on the throne. The devil hasn't outsmarted him. He hasn't run out of blood. He hasn't run out of grace. He hasn't run out of mercy. It's still there. It's fresh. It's an abundant supply. That's the door of hope. Now let's think about this. He said, therefore I will allure her and bring her into the wilderness and speak comfortably unto her. Some people are going through some things and the devil's taking all the credit. God just allowed it to happen to get people into a place where they can hear from him. Sometimes we got to be in a bad place before we'll stop listening and depending upon ourselves and hear from God. But God says, you may be in a bad place. You may know somebody's in a bad place. It may be a wilderness experience, but I know where you're at. And I've got a word for you. I've got a door for you, a door of hope. He said, I will give her vineyards from thence. And it's in the valley of Achor for a door of hope. And she shall sing there as in the days of her youth and as in the day when she came up out of the land of Egypt. What happened in the valley of Achor? The children of Israel, they'd just been delivered, you know, from Egypt. They didn't come into the promised land. They didn't take the 11-day journey. They took the 40-year journey. But now it's time once again to come into God's promises. And as they're there, what happens? Achan, he doesn't obey God. He sees that Babylonian priest robe and he takes the gold and the silver and he hides it in that robe and he digs a hole in the midst of his tent and he keeps it there. And the children of Israel, they come up to the next battle to come into the next promise. Come on now, the next promise of God. The promise is to inhabit the promised land. And they come up to Ai, and as they come up to Ai, they look and they say, oh, this ain't nothing. Let's just send a few men up there. We can take care of this. We don't even got to pray about it. We know we can handle it. 36 men lost their life. The number 36 in biblical numerics means, Bible numbers means what? Means enemy. The enemy was in the camp, in the midst of the camp. It was in Achan's life. And Achan caused that to happen. That's the valley that he's talking about. Meaning what? There's hope. There's hope when sin has come back into somebody's life. There's hope in the midst of all trouble. We can't allow that sin to cause us to think that God's gave up on them, that God's not listening, not interested in them, because He is. That's the door of hope that you and I've got to take to people. We've got to say, listen, your loved one, they may be in this situation. Your best friend, your coworker, they may be here. But let me tell you, let me give you some words. Let me speak comfortably to you. Come on, you're in a wilderness situation, but I'm going through that door, and that door says hope on it, and I'm going to tell you that God brought those people out of that situation. He took them to a place of what? Of the promises. And that's what's going to happen in our life because we love the Lord. Yes, there's a great door open. There's many adversaries, but we've got to identify some doors to take to people. Okay, so there's a great door of hope. Read that sometime in Joshua 6 and 7. It'll bless your heart. It'll stir you up. It'll get your spirit on fire because God's Word is alive. It's fresh. Doesn't matter if it's Old Testament or New Testament. It brings truth to us. Okay, let's look at another door. Let's go back to the New Testament. And let's go to Acts chapter 14. Because you see, these are just a few doors. There's many, but just a few that we can look at and be encouraged about. In Acts chapter 14... let's pick it up in verse number 25. Now this is talking about Paul and Barnabas, Acts 14 and 25. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, and from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they had fulfilled. And when they were come, they gathered the church together. They gathered the church together, and they rehearsed, they testified, in other words, all that God had done to them, and how He opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. Underline it in your Bible, how he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. And there they abode a long time with the disciples. A door of faith. See, people's got to have hope before they can come to faith. You see, I had to have some hope that there was something more than my sin that was controlling me. I had to have some hope that there was life where death had a hold of me. I had to have some hope that I could be set free, made free, out of all of the bondages of life that the devil had placed in my life, that the world that I had accepted, embraced, practiced. I had to know something. And when God gave me hope, then I could come to faith. So we take hope to people and tell them there's an answer, and the answer is Jesus the Christ. And that enables them to be able to see that there's a person, an entity, a God-given Son that they can put faith in that will change every situation. Oh, come on now. That's exciting. That's encouraging. That's it. You and I, the door is open for us to take faith to all those who are without. To take faith. Now, how do we do that? Faith comes by
hearing.
And hearing by
the word of God.
So the door was open because if you look in verse number 7, it says, and there they preached, talking about Paul and Barnabas, there they preached the gospel. There they preached the gospel, the word of God. They preached the word of God, and that brought faith. And I know that's a different location, but that's on the whole journey, this whole first missionary journey. They preached the word of God, and it brought faith. You and I, we can live the word of God in front of people. We can talk about the word of God in front of people. And as we do that, it enables them to come to faith. You see, the devil had for years had convinced me that nobody would listen because they weren't interested. And then he said, didn't you get interested when you realized there was something to hope for? And I thought, oh, yes, yes. I'm not going to let those lies blind me. They are hungry people out there. They are people who are ready to come with you back through the door. But we've just got to be willing to do what we can do. Not what anybody else can do, but what we can do in that excitement, in that enjoyment of serving the Lord. Okay, let's tie this together now. He said there was a door of faith. And we've done said that faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. So we've got to be able to speak that word. Now in the book of Psalms, Psalms 81, down about verse number 10, God gives a promise. He says, if you will open your mouth a little bit, no. He said, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. And that's what this is. Open this door of faith. By opening our mouth wide, and God said, I'll fill it myself. I'll put the word in your mouth, and you speak it, and it'll cause somebody to come to faith. Okay, that's God. That's God's part. Let's see our part. Go to the book of Colossians. Let's see our part in this. In the door of faith. It comes by, in Colossians chapter 4, verse number 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. Verse 3. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance. Underline it in your Bible. A door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ for which I am also in bonds that I may make it manifest as I ought to. The door of faith is opened with a door of utterance. Because that's the word of God going forth. But our part, God said, you open your mouth wide and I'll fill it. But our part is to pray about it. Pray. Here's when I pray. I want to pray for y'all as I lay my hands on y'all's picture. And pray, and my family and I pray for different needs and different situations. But also pray, God, give them utterance. Give them the word to say. Every place that you go, it might just be a simple hi, but if the anointing is on that word hi, and they feel the Spirit of God, because that's what the Spirit of God said He would do, always lift up Jesus, then that makes a difference in their day, and I'm believing a difference in their week, their month, their year, their whole life, because they was encountered with somebody who was a vessel for the Lord. Paul said, pray. Pray for a door of utterance for us. And that's what we've got to pray for each other, because you're going to be coming in contact with people that I never come in contact with. I'm going to come in contact with people you will never come in contact with. So we pray for each other. Lord, give them a door of utterance. And with that door of utterance, there will be faith, because you've done showed them hope. Oh, it'll all tie together. It'll work perfectly. And when it's all said and done, you'll be sitting back on the couch or at the kitchen table and you'll say, Lord, how did you do that? I'm amazed, and I do worship you, and I do say you are an awesome God, because you've done something that's amazing. Okay, so real quick, there's a great door, there's many adversaries. Christ himself has opened that door, and then we look at these three different types of doors. You study in your home study time for more, but that's the three that was laid on my heart. But lastly, let's talk about the door and the opposition real quick. Now, he said that with that great door, there would be many, many adversaries. What does the devil always try to do? If you look in Mark chapter 4, he's labeled as a fowl of the air, trying to steal the seed out of the ground, out of your heart. So that's what he wants to always do. So real quick, let's look at Genesis 37, and let's just see an example of how that opposition comes when you hear from God. Just a few minutes. Genesis 37. We have a wonderful story here. For sake of time, let's just read verse 5. Genesis 37:5. And Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it to his brethren, and they hated him yet the more. And then look at verse number 9. Genesis 37:9. And he, Joseph, dreamed yet another dream, and he told it his brethren, and said, Behold, I have dreamed a dream more, and behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance, or they bowed down to me. Okay, but the point being what? God was giving Joseph a vision of a door. He was showing him his future, showing him who he was in God. We've got to see that that open door, that's showing us who we are. We're faithful, because otherwise God wouldn't show us the door. We have the ability to share the gospel, or God wouldn't show us the door. But the opposition is, as soon as God shows you something, just as he showed this to Joseph, the devil is going to be there to try to steal it from you. That's what he did. He brought his own family to Joseph to steal the dream away from Joseph. You and I were no better than Joseph. So we've got to be on guard. We've got to listen to what everything is said. And we look and we say, wait a minute. The source is not this person. That comes right straight from the devil himself. Uh-uh, devil. You're not going to put aught in my heart. You're not going to bring separation between me and this person. And I'm not going to receive that seed. And I cast it down in the name of Jesus. And I put it under his feet. And we go on. Opposition. There's going to be great opposition. Joseph, he ended up being what? The same as first in command. I mean, in reality, he was running all of Egypt. He went from, the dream came and he ended up in a pit. Right? But God put him in the palace. Come on now. So we hold on to what God says. No matter what you're dealing with, no matter what opposition is happening, as you see, as we stated and opened up with all the things that's happening in this community to people's hearts, souls, and lives, we don't allow that to stop us. Rather, you know what that shows us? We're getting closer to the will of God. We're getting deeper in the work of God. And the revelation of the plan of God is becoming more tangible. That's all it means. When the devil brings more and more, that's what it means. So instead of being discouraged, we be, lack of better English, we be encouraged. We be encouraged. There was a man, he got on an elevator. And he loved the Lord with all of his heart. And he's always praying, asking the Lord, hey, use me. Use me. Use me. I want to be used by you. So he gets on this elevator. And this was back in the days when they had somebody who run and operated the elevator. And there was a young man there. And he said, what floor? He told him what floor. And as they were going up in the elevator, the man who was always praying to God, who was tried to be the best Christian he could be. He was looking at the young man, sizing him up, kind of praying, you know, what could I say to him, you know, and all this stuff. And like the Spirit of God just said, you've got to say something to him that'll just grab his attention. So he looked at the young man and he said, young man, he said, are you on your way to heaven or on your way to hell? It just shocked the young man completely. And he said, I don't know. About that time, the elevator door plopped open to that floor that they had punched. The man didn't step off. He was watching the reaction of this young man. This young man said, we're here at the floor. The door's open. Won't you get off? And the Christian looked at the elevator operator and he said, the door of heaven is open. Why don't you come in? See, little words in situations, normal situations of life make all the difference. They change things. They change things in people's life because people go through life, I know, just living, so busy with living that you're not really alive. You know what I mean? You're just going through the motions, not enjoying things. I'll close with this thought. This should be our attitude. How many's read any of the writings of John Wesley? Great circuit preacher that used to go on horseback from place to place taking the gospel. Well, he's riding along on his horse, boy, and he's just rejoicing in the Lord. And all of a sudden, he starts thinking. And he goes, 1, 2, 3. He just realized it had been 3 days since he had met the devil head on. Since he had suffered some kind of persecution. He just stopped the horse right in the middle of that old dirt road and jumped off the horse, hit his knees right beside the horse, and went to praying and said, God, there must be something wrong. Because I know the devil is against everything that you're trying to do, and I'm trying to do your work, but I must have missed you somewhere because I have not run face to face with him. Lord, I repent. Put me back where I'm supposed to be, in the middle of your will, in the battlefield of life. About that time he heard, whew, it was a big rock that sailed past his head. There was a drunk redneck over the side seeing him down praying. And he said, preacher, I know who you are. I know what you stand for. We don't want you. Get out of here. John Wesley stood up to his feet. He said, oh, praise the Lord. Thank you, God, so much. I know I'm back where you want me to be because I'm meeting the devil. You and I, we may meet the devil. We may have times of trouble. We may have times of hardship. But rejoice, rejoice, because God counts you worthy to be tempted. God counts you worthy to carry his word. And no matter what's going on, if you know where the devil is, if he's fighting you, praise God, because he's not coming around where you can't see in situations. You know what I'm saying? I'd rather know where he's working than where he's not, you know, when he's working in secret where I don't understand it and I don't see it. I want to see him work because I know he's busy about this way, and God's going to show me, he's going to show you how to stand strong and how to take his feet out from under him because Christ has done it. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your instruction. Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus, by the Holy Spirit of God, I ask that you instill each one of us that very vision of an open door. And let us see your hand on that door. And let us know, Lord, if your hand is on that door, nothing. For you're greater than all. Nothing can shut that door. And as we look through that door, let us in faith step forward in power of your Holy Spirit, in revelation of your word. And let us meet the enemy head on. But as we meet him head on, let us know, let us understand it's for your glory and it's by your plan and purpose. Lord, let us take these doors of hope to people where there's no hope whatsoever in themselves. Lord, you give us the ability, the utterance, we pray for that, to bring faith, to open the door of faith to those who are without. You be glorified in everything we do, everything we say. Lord, we'll be careful to give you the praise and all the glory and the honor because it's all about you. And we thank you in advance. And we believe with all of our heart that there's going to be people come through the door of Christ, because of your very plan your very leadership and us saying yes to that plan. We give you praise in advance in Jesus' mighty name. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Are you here this morning and you need a little hope in your life? Christ will open that door. He'll show you if you need hope. See, I got to have some hope to believe for some people that I love so much that God can take them from where they're at and bring them to where He wants them to be. You see, man can't do it. Man can't do it. They have no hope unless Jesus is lifted before their eyes. They have a destiny, and that destiny is hellfire. That destiny is the judgment of God unless Jesus is elevated before them. And so I need a door of hope. I need to be able to be used by God. I need to be in the place where utterance comes and faith can be presented to them, being the Word of God. And I think each one of us this morning, we're in the same situation. Would you come and just seek the Lord in your own way? Whether you need to be able to walk through a door yourself or whether you need the ability to be used by God to take somebody else through that door. Hallelujah. 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 Oh, hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you.
saved and had been going to church just a short time. He come to this preacher and he said, "What do I need to do?" The preacher looked at him and said, "Well, what do you do?" He said, "Well, this was back in the early 1900s. He said, "Well, I'm the one who is over a certain train line. I'm the conductor." "Not the conductor. What about the conductor? What do you call the guy who drives the engine?" "Yeah, I'm the engineer." And the preacher said, looked at him and said, "Well, is the man," and this is back in the coal, the steam engine, "so there's a man who shovels the coal, is he a Christian?" He said, "I don't know." He said, "Start right there." You see, we get so overwhelmed because we have a vision of doing so many great things, you know, that God didn't call us to do. He called us in this harvest field because this is where we're at. We're not in Africa. We're not in some foreign field. We're right here. We're not out of God's will, we're out of God's place. He put us here. So we start where we're at. And that changes everything. Anybody need prayer for anything? Remember, from this day forward, I pray the Spirit of God quickens us, and we pray for each one that door of utterance. That door of utterance. That really, we pray that. And I believe as we pray that, and as we say, "Yes, sir, Lord," and we yield our tongue to Him, there'll be seed come out of our life. There'll be seed that will change people. Because the Word of God, it always makes a difference. And it may not happen in our time frame. It may not be happening in our lifetime. But it'll make a difference. I'm a firm believer. Because I see things happen. I see... just like there was a place there now, my grandpa's, where it had been covered over. He had a bunch of lumber and stuff stacked there or whatever, and it rotted, and it's been there for years. And we got rid of it and moved it. And when he moved it, that ground came alive. Because that seed was there.
Amen.
We help people with the Spirit of God bring word to them and get the rottenness and the dead things out of their lives. Life will come by believing. It's the truth, it's a fact. So there is a great door, there's a great adversary, but there's none greater than our God.
Amen. Thank you.
Turn to Brother Stan.
I don't know. Anything special going on this week?
Sectional meeting,
and we'll need to take up an offering for the dorms that they're going to rebuild in Bologna. So maybe we could take that up next Sunday.
Okay. Good. Looks like a good idea.
Anything else? Okay. Be back tonight at 5:30. Brother Mark, you want to dismiss us in prayer?
Amen.
Yes. Hallelujah.